All right, Digital Dave.
Fast Eddie.
And this is Hot Start on EAA Radio.
And we're hot and smoking today, baby.
Oh, boy. That doesn't sound good at all.
It depends upon where you're standing at the time.
Okay, and joining us is Dr. Ian Blair Fries. I got it right?
Yes, you did.
Do I get a gold star?
It's spelled like French fries, but my family has always said Fries.
There you go.
So you know you're stuck with that.
And you are an aviation medical doctor.
Yes, I am. Senior aviation medical examiner. That is correct.
Oh, boy. I had a lot of dealings with you guys earlier this year. But anyway, that's another story. So now you were talking about a hyperbaric simulation chamber.
Surely. We're going to be announcing, as a matter of fact, just about an hour and a half from now, Dehar. I'm an owner. I'm not part of the company itself. The TBM 900, I'm sure you know about that aircraft. What happened is, I think you know, we've had an unfortunate accident back in September of last year in which one of our TBM owners gradually became hypoxic over the southern part of the United States. The plane then flew on autopilot until it ran out of fuel just short of Jamaica. We want to prevent that type of accident from happening again. It's also the Payne Stewart sort of thing. What happens is that slow hypoxia gradually gets you. The rapid decompression is obvious. You know you have a problem. You put on the mask, you descend. The slow hypoxia is not at all obvious. So we are now doing type-specific hypoxic training, and we call it hypoxia, oxygen, and pressurization experience. So what we now do is we have a large chamber. When I say we, Dr. Paul Buza, who has a large chamber, this is an altitude chamber in Melbourne, we now put pilots in this chamber and slowly bring the altitude of the chamber up to give them slow hypoxia. At the same time, we have a full G1000 panel, which actually matches what's inside the TBM in front of them. They are on autopilot, which is how these hypoxias occur. They're getting directions from ATC. They're wearing a headset. And slowly, we make them hypoxic. They start to make errors. We hope that they'll begin to recognize the symptoms they have. And now, that being the case, they now have to make the decision to get the mask on. We have the identical masks that are in the TBM in the identical location. These masks you should be able to get on within 5 seconds. They're called rapid don masks. If I put you in the chamber and I asked you to do it, there's no way you're going to do it in 5 seconds. I like to say it's how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You know the old joke?
Mm-hmm. Practice.
Practice. Right. There is no way that you're going to take off your headset, get the mask on, establish oxygen flow and do that within 5 seconds, and then reestablish communications, because you have to use the right switches to make sure that you now are using the mask mic and no longer the other mic. Now, having said all of that, you should be good enough to be able to do this at night in the dark.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay. So, what I'm simply saying is what we're doing is giving pilots the real, or as close as we can, the real experience of hypoxia, managing their pressurization system, managing their mask. How complicated is this? The TBM has 4 pressurization modes. The mask has 3 operative modes. Do you have understanding? So what I'm simply saying is the time to learn this is not when you think that you have a pressurization problem in this airplane. And remember, the TBM typically, I fly my TBM typically at 30 and 31,000. This is rarefied air.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are inches away from a very, very dangerous environment.
You're out of your element.
So that's what we hope to do. And the news that will be announced shortly is that TBM, Dehar, feels this is important enough that if you buy a new 900, as my wife says, you get it free. You get free this training. In other words, it's going to be integral to the training that every new TBM owner and operator will get that gets the aircraft. We expect that a large number of operators out there will also choose to take this training. It just makes sense.
My first question would be, you're Joe Pilot buzzing along, and let's say you've had the training. Mm-hmm. So you know how to recognize this.
Mm-hmm.
but your mind is somewhere else, looking at charts, that's watching the navigation, and you're not necessarily thinking about this. And that's the connection, though, that has to make. Something has to pique you and say, wait a minute, something else is going on here.
Well, true. And if it's the first time you've ever experienced it, the chances that you'll pick up these clues are rather small. But I assure you that after you had this experience in the chamber, you're going to be far, far more likely to recognize it. Now, what we also do is we simultaneously video a picture of you in the chamber and of the G1000, in other words, of the panel. And so you then will be able to take that home and review that at home. And along with that, we are monitoring your oxygen tension using a digital oximeter, as many people now have, but we have a recording one, and therefore you're going to get this package when you leave. So that means that 6 months later, you say, I want to go back and look at this, remind myself what the symptoms were, remind myself of the errors I made, match that with what the oxygen tension was, the oxygen saturation was. So we hope that this will be a tool that will allow you to review in the future as well.
Now, your particular sensitivity to hypoxia, I imagine, changes daily. If you're tired,
absolutely,
things like that, not feeling well in general.
Dehydrated.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, almost anything that would normally affect your judgment is going to also affect the hypoxia. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But there's some other things that are more insidious than that, and that is that an average, everybody knows, or you read in the book, that time for useful consciousness, for example, at 25,000, the book says 3 to 5 minutes. That's what it says. Well, that was done on 20-year-old Air Force recruits in the top of their physical state.
Right.
Now, I'm just looking around the room here. I see a little gray hair. Okay.
Well, you don't see any hair, but anyway.
Now I can tell you that. Our sensitivity to hypoxia degrades or becomes worse very quickly with age. And so there's no way you're going to have 3 or 5 minutes.
Right.
Could be.
And isn't also one of the first symptoms is a euphoric feeling?
It may be.
So you're like, oh, well, I'm doing great, you know? And you're just ignoring all the rest of the stuff.
And that's why you need to learn what your symptoms are. And the other thing to remember is that prior to loss of consciousness, you lose judgment. So you may still be conscious, and I tell you to put the mask on, you'll do it, but you don't have the consciousness, the cognitive ability to decide yourself that you need to put the mask on. So that's the reason why you've got to be able to get that mask on in 5 seconds, because you really don't have much time.
Wow.
That's very interesting. Is this training going to be available for earlier model TBMs as well?
Yes. Yes, it will be. And quite frankly, while we are much appreciated to Dehar that has helped us put this together, we hope that we'll be doing type training for other aircraft as well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this project has gotten bigger and bigger as we see that what we need to do is we can't just teach hypoxia alone without giving it in the right environment. In other words, to understand that this is what you're going to be doing. You're not going to be writing numbers. You're not going to be playing cards. You understand this is what you're going to be doing when you have hypoxia and you need to recognize it. In other words, in the correct environment. And that's really the difference.
It's real-world training.
That's correct. That's correct.
I can't help but think that the aircraft designers need to look at their systems to try and make them simpler. And I want a redundant cabin pressure warning, not connected to the pressurization system, that says, hey, something's wrong.
Well, most airplanes have it separate. Now, we can get into a very long discussion in terms of how oxygen and pressurization systems could be improved so that they are ergonomically better than they are. And again, if you want to have an hour show just simply on that, I would be happy to provide that to you, because that is a great deal of interest to me, because a part of what we're also doing is that we're experimenting with different masks as well. So you're beginning to get an idea. This project is just
it's huge.
Yeah. But right now, we want to concentrate on one thing, and that is type-specific training for TBMs. And we want to get that right. We've already done it, by the way. We already have had pilots through this. But we want to get that right first before we start, because we can be all over the map with this, and
yeah,
you people are quickly picking up some of the other things that we are already in the back of our mind considering. But we say, oh, I mean, we got to do one
thing.
First,
you got to develop a training program that works. It's good.
Well, we have it already, and it is working already, and we already have pilots through it. But we want it to be even better than what we have.
Do you? I mean, can they learn all this in one session of the in the chamber? I would think it would take multiple.
Well, the answer is, like anything else, we spend half a day to a full day doing this because we do a lot of training outside. In other words, the first time they handle a mask is not when they need it to handle hypoxia, but they learn to handle it outside the chamber. And as I said to you, there's no way that you're going to do this in 5 seconds unless you've had that mask in your hand. How do you hold it? You don't have time to switch it in your
hand. Up, down, yeah.
Yes. Where do you put the headset that you've just taken off? I mean, if it's not choreographed, there's no way you can do it. And that, we can teach that within a reasonable amount of time.
It's an emergency situation. You've got to automatically know how to do it.
Right. It has to be instinct.
Instinct.
No, yeah, just automatic.
You got to practice it.
Yep, that's and exactly that's exactly the point.
You have to be able to recognize the symptoms. What about the FAA? What are their thoughts about high altitude pressure loss? Isn't there some kind of testing or
they don't like it
a requirement when you get a type rating in a TBM or similar aircraft?
Well, the answer is that it turns out that there's so much that one has to learn during a type rating that this somehow is put on the side. I do have a type rating, and when I got a type rating in a Lear, the only thing I had to do was point to the mask, and that was considered sufficient,
right?
You see. And I never had to practice actually doing it, because that was, and that got me through, that was, got me the type rating.
Yeah,
so, because I just indicated, oh, that's all fine, it's fine, you know you have to put the mask on, but that's just not enough. It's
no,
just not enough.
That's the no. start it's of just it all.
Not. But the answer is that most type rating, and even TBM, which is not type rated, but you still, almost everybody takes the course, is a 5-day course approximately. It just isn't enough time. There's so much else that you have to do that somehow this is a less important. I don't think it's less important, but I'm just saying that's the way it's handled.
It's like a crash helmet. It's not important at all until you really need it.
Yeah.
And then it's really important.
Well, anyway, training is the key too, and you've got to practice it.
Well, it's not just the training, but it's actually the experience, and that's what we're trying to do. It's the experience that at the same time you're becoming hypoxic, you are flying that airplane on autopilot, you're climbing, you're turning, you're doing clearances, you're setting up radios, etc. In other words, it's that total experience. And then when you recognize the hypoxia, you now have to get the mask on. You actually have to do that to cure the hypoxia that you now have. And then you have to reestablish communications. And as I said to you, yes, practice, practice, practice.
Are you doing a forum or anything on the field?
Well, we are, as I said to you, we have an announcement, official announcement, in about an hour and a half from now that we're going to be doing. And, of course, Dr. Bouza and myself are available to talk about it. And both of us, independently and together, have been giving seminars on this area. We gave one to the Phenom people. I gave one in Germany about 4 weeks ago to TBM owners in Europe. So the answer is that we are, as best we can, getting this information
okay.
out.
Well, if you're a TBM owner, look them up.
Well, I would hope that it's not just TBM owners, but understand that any aircraft
that agree, is pressurized. Oh, I agree, but right now you're only set up to do TBMs.
Well, we'll take you. We'll take you. We will take you. If you're in a pressurized aircraft, I assure you we can give you a very interesting experience.
Okay.
Sounds like it'd be interesting to do. Just
bring the little brown bag.
Just even for people that have never experienced anything like that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
I enjoyed
being here.
This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.